Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. I hope you have had a good week. If you're a new listener, this is a two-hour show. In the first hour, I interview people on the street on a different topic each week. And in the second hour, we balance the intellectual with the creative by featuring in-depth interviews with highly talented guests from the arts. And in both hours of the show, we try to hold in mind the underlying theme of It's a Question of Balance, the exploration of whether we have more in common than divides us. In the second hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing best-selling author Eden Lepucky. Eden's debut novel, California, is one of the most pre-ordered debut novels in the history of publisher Hachette and graced the New York Times bestseller list, as well as many media best books of the summer lists and Huffington Post's 30 books you need to read in 2014. A post-apocalyptic story described by Sarah Stone of the San Francisco Chronicle as depicting the moment-by-moment reality of a painful possible future, the price we may have to pay for our passionate devotion to all of the wrong things. California has recently been released as a paperback after its hardback success. So I'm looking forward to talking to Eden. That's coming up in the second hour. For questions that matter this week, we're considering, do good manners still matter? The Out and About feature is designed to get us all thinking, so as I'm talking to people, perhaps you can wonder how you would have responded to the questions had I stopped you on the street. If you have any comments, you can email me at ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd love to hear your opinion. So again, that's ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, first this week, I spoke to Beau. And that doesn't sound like that is him. So hold on one second. That actually sounds like a really good rapper from Zambia called Conscious. So you had a little tiny excerpt of that. And now you're going to hear, hopefully, what Beau had to say when I stopped him. Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Beau Scott.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at, do good manners still matter? When you think of good manners, do you think of courteous behaviour or do you think of annoying social rules that have to be abided by?
Courteous behaviour.
Right. So there are a lot of books on etiquette, or, you know, on which fork to use, when and how, and, you know, how to write thank you notes or whatever. But there's a great book by Lucinda Holdforth called Why Manners Matter, The Case for Civilized Behavior in a Barbarous World. And she defines manners a bit differently. She defines manners as a set of small sacrifices we make for other people. And she says, manners are a civil mode of human interaction. They matter because they represent an optimal means to preserve our own dignity and the dignity of others. So when we give way to others, when we keep our temper, when we help someone old or frail, these individual gestures, seemingly so small, add up to the not inconsiderable achievement of a civil society. Our small sacrifices amount to something big. So I'm wondering, have you ever thought about manners as being important enough to contribute to a civil society, perhaps even leading to the need for fewer laws?
I think in general, it just adds positive energy out into the universe. So I think anytime you do that at all, I don't know that I've thought about it as far as manners go, but in general, just being polite or having manners or putting positive energy, positive things come in return.
Right, that makes sense, because people are treating each other well, you mean, and that creates positive energy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Some people argue that manners are silly and they inhibit our freedom or create elitism or snobbery, maybe. They're just for social conservatives. Do you see manners as having that kind of negative effect at all?
No, because they're not required.
Right, yeah. That's true.
And
unfortunately.
So, I mean, and I think manners can be defined differently, too, depending on the culture. So I think just kindness or politeness in general and respecting others' space are manners, in my opinion, and I don't see that as being snobbery.
Right. Manners, in many ways, give dignity to ourselves and to others. For example, you know, if you go out with someone and you'll say you'll call them and you never do, you're leaving a situation without closure for either person. And so our own dignity is compromised because we have treated someone disingenuously, and their dignity is compromised as they feel disrespected. Whereas, you know, just a polite call would increase dignity all round. I'm just wondering, have you ever thought about manners in terms of dignity in how we treat other people or how they treat us?
I don't feel good inside, internally, when I'm not practicing. Now, there's often times that I'm not practicing good manners, that perhaps I don't call somebody, but when I do not, I don't feel good about myself. Mm. So it just goes along with, like, I feel better the more kind and mindful I am about anything that I, any type of interaction that I have or engagement that I'm supposed to withhold with another person. Mm. At the same time, I'm guilty of not doing it often, but I feel like I pay for it emotionally some way.
Right. So in a way, the existence of manners is creating a kind of conscience.
Sure.
You know, we may not always behave in the best way, but we're trying to and feel bad if we don't.
Yes, I prefer to. I prefer to behave that way.
And do you think that manners are a luxury? I mean, do you think that, you know, if you don't have your basic needs met, that it's harder to be courteous to other people?
I do. I think it's having privileges, and being a white male, I understand that I have privileges, and perhaps that makes it easier for me to have manners or be kind in general, because I'm not fighting just to be equal to other people. So yeah, I think it can be considered a privilege.
The English parliamentarian Edmund Burke believed that manners were more important than laws, because he felt that they were a negotiated contract between people to behave in certain ways rather than that having to be imposed upon them by the state. Have you thought about manners in that way, and do you see that as an important role they could have?
I would prefer it be that way. I think because it's not imposed, and because if we just have a universal agreement to be kind to one another, no, I don't think laws would be necessary or as necessary.
Could you foresee a situation where we are able to treat each other that well?
Could I see a situation where we could all treat each other that well? I mean, yeah, minus mental illness. You know, unfortunately, mental illness plays a factor in the way that we treat each other as well. And then that's where laws would probably be necessary, because some people perhaps cannot control the types of behavior they have, in which some of it is antisocial and unacceptable and difficult and can harm others. So,
yeah.
In an ideal world, of course, but we don't live in one of those.
No, that's very true. Manners of
it. Polite. Yeah. That was manners for you.
Speaking of manners, yeah. I know Erasmus wrote about passing wind and what one should do. He suggested a discreet cough as you do it. So they didn't quite manage that, did they?
No, not at all.
So manners, you know, have been negotiated through the centuries and evolved. We've got this situation now with the internet and a whole new etiquette or lack of etiquette in how people treat each other in sort of social media, forums, things like that. Do you think we need to develop a new set of manners for how we treat each other virtually?
I think we do, but I think it's more difficult. We were talking earlier about empathy, and we mirror each other's expressions, and when we don't have to see another person's reaction to what we say, we don't feel the consequences if it's hurtful. Mm-hmm. So social media doesn't provide that empathic component to understanding how what you're doing affects another person. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think we could be more mindful of that and acknowledge that fact, and perhaps we would think perhaps how it affects them, because we can't see how it affects them.
Mm. I mean, manners used to be something that was taught through education as well as obviously in the home. Do you see a place for good manners, acting courteously, being taught in schools?
I think that it should be. I think some might not get the opportunity to learn it at home. And for those unfortunate, it would be nice that the school provide that for them.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your opinions. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks to Bo there. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. Well, next, let's hear from Laurie. Hello, my name is Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Laurie.
Well, thanks so much for stopping, Laurie, for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at, do good manners still matter? I'm wondering, when you think of good manners, do you think of like courteous behavior or annoying social rules that have to be abided by?
Courteous behavior.
Definitely. Okay. So the 18th century English parliamentarian Edmund Burke, in his Letters on a Regicide piece about the French Revolution, famously stated, "Manners are more important than laws. Upon them, in a great measure, the law depends. The law touches us, but here and there, and now and then. Manners are what vex or soothe, corrupt or purify, exalt or debase, barbarize or refine us by a constant, steady, uniform, insensible operation, like that of the air we breathe in. They give their whole form and color to our lives. According to their quality, they aid morals, they supply them, or they totally destroy them." Have you ever thought of manners as being important enough to contribute to a civil society, perhaps even resulting in fewer laws?
Oh, God, yes. Like, I mean, manners are like leaving the, you know, like when you're at work, you know, sit on the floor or not. That's manners to aim your pee for the hole. Do you know what I mean? Oh, God, I'm not going to be good at this. But
well, that's interesting you should bring that up because, you know, manners evolve. And it used to be, at least for men, you know, when they, in the sort of 18th century, when they would go and have their, you know, cigars and such, they would be in chamber pots on the floor, which now we wouldn't really be wanting to do that. So these ideas do evolve, that's for sure. And a lot of manners evolve around bodily functions too. So it's interesting you should bring that up. But overall, do you see manners as a positive thing, do you think, in social interactions?
Oh, yes. I don't know how we could get along without manners. It's somebody has the right of way, they let you turn. I mean, you know, you don't fight for it, right? Spitting on the sidewalk in front of you, clearing your throat like this, you know? These are all things that help us get along. I mean, seriously, it's waiting your turn in line and not cutting. I mean, these aren't laws, though, but they are a kind of way to make us behave in a lawful manner that just make us get along better.
It's also a way of, especially the examples you're giving, of respecting one another, would you say?
Oh, yeah, totally. I think it's a matter of respect. Manners are very necessary for our society to operate like this.
Do you think manners are a luxury? I mean, do you think if you're in a situation where your basic needs aren't met, perhaps that you're less likely to want to treat other people well, or do you think that they could pervade any situation?
Well, I think if you look at, there's a lot of down and out people, right? And if you look at them, they don't have the same manners probably because they're so desperate. They, you walk down the streets, it smells like pee, so you could see somebody in the corner or something, right? So I don't think that, because they're so disenfranchised, I don't think that they really pay that much attention to manners because it's not a big factor for them.
Yeah, so in that sense, somewhat of a luxury. Obviously, if you're just trying to think about how you're going to make it to the next day, then you're not going to be giving so much thought to how you treat other people. Although, to be successful, even in their situation of getting food and such, being polite would help.
That you're totally right. Because you know what? The world does treat people that are nice and courteous better than other people. People want to treat other people they like nicely.
Yeah.
It is an advantage to be a likable person, even if it means following rules of courtesy.
Yeah, I think that's true. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations on our topic this week, Do Good Manners Still Matter? We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin. Before the break, I was talking to Laurie, so let's hear the rest of that conversation.
Do you think that we are becoming less courteous? Do you think, you know, life is speeding up?
Yeah. I think it's because we're so distracted with our smartphones, all this other stuff. So our courtesy has gone by the way because you're busy texting or whatever and it's not your turn, but you gotta go. And then you drive in your car and you cut somebody else off and then you cause that person to, you know, chase you down the street flipping you off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that really our culture has changed and we don't have those sort of manners anymore. It's a me, me, me.
So we're more self-absorbed, would you say?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think also that we need a new etiquette for the internet, you know, how we behave virtually?
Yes. I mean, if you think about the internet and all that, I'm pretty disconnected. I do it on purpose. All this total exposure is all about me, 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 it now, right? Now, I really think about that sometimes. I wonder, is that affecting the world we see out here now, the discourtesy, this total sort of self-absorption?
Yeah.
You know?
Some people think that manners center a lot around human dignity, personal dignity, that if you treat someone courteously, you're being enhancing your own dignity and theirs. Is that something you would think about?
Well, I think it's totally true. I think you brought it up earlier when you said it could be a matter of respect, and I totally think so. You should treat others the way you want to be treated. It isn't always possible depending on where your mind's at, right?
Right.
But when you're discourteous to somebody, oh, that'll come back on you.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's part of being polite if someone even treats you badly, because you perhaps are taking into account there may be reasons why in that moment they, you know, speak briskly or are rude or whatever, you know, and rather than responding in like to like, you just respond in a take the high ground, I suppose.
Yeah. I think that's true. I was really cranky the other day and I was rude at something else that happened that wasn't what, but the bill was due and I had to go to the fitness club to ask about something. By then it was all on fire and I was so rude to the guy. But he was really cool. He sort of reset it by being really polite and he kept calling me miss, even though, you know, I'm like 30 years past miss, right? But he did that and he was so courteous and then I was like, sorry. And it just sort of changed my attitude going out of there. I apologize, but yeah, it was totally I was out of courtesy because I was out of patience.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
That's interesting. So that example you've given, it's almost like it had a kind of healing effect.
It totally does. I think it's the same thing. When people are rude to you, you're more intent. You'd be more likely to pass it on. And it's the same if somebody smiles at you. I know it's a small thing, but when someone smiles at you, it's really hard not to smile back. And it sort of sets your tone, I think. Walking down the street, yeah.
Yeah. I used to know someone who went out of their way if somebody, you know, that they came across in the day was very grumpy or rude, they would just talk to them until they could get them to smile or kind of change their mood, you know, just as a sort of, I don't know, fun is not the right word, but as an interesting thing to do. And I think it can be done.
Yeah, you know the butterfly effect, you know that? Somewhere in the world, there's a butterfly and it goes like this and it causes a storm in another part of the world. Just like the smallest interaction sets off a chain of events. And I think it's the same thing with courtesy and just attitude even, which is a form of courtesy, I think, choosing to have a respectful attitude. So.
Well, Well, I think that's a very good point, because our manners, how we treat people, that is directly within our control. And as you say, if each of us was to take control of that and act well, then it does have an exponential effect that could change the world effectively.
Yeah, it's totally true. I don't know how to do that because I'm not always at my best.
Well, I think all of us just have to do our best, don't we? And keep trying to better our best. Life is stressful and so busy. I think what you brought up to is a good point. It just seems to be getting busier and busier and busier. And when people don't have time, then they have less opportunity or less thought about how they behave, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
As far as manners are concerned, I had these friends and I had, they were Argentine, right? And so one day they say, we're ordering some pizza. And so I'm like, they stay up till midnight, Argentines do, God. And but anyhow, so they order this pizza and they order this funky pizza with fish on it. It's got anchovies on, so I'm about to throw up. I'm American, right? There's a pepperoni, right? And so all of a sudden, so they stick the pizza there. They've got some other weird pizza. It's got pineapple and ham on it. I've never had that flavor either. But the fish one was weird. And jalapenos and anchovies. But so anyhow, they cut it and give me a piece on my plate, and then I start to eat it, and then wouldn't you like to use your fork? No. And then I realized that they were all using a fork and knife to eat their pizza. And I was like, but I'm American, right? This is how we eat food. Because, you know, really, that's frou-frou to me, right?
Right.
But anyhow, so I ended up picking up my fork and knife because, you know, the mother was just, her mouth was hanging open, like, to her daughter, how do you make friends like this, right? How do you serve me fish pizza? Do you know what I mean? But it's that sort of, like, negotiation. Like, I wouldn't stand on my Americanness. Like, we eat it with our hands here. That's what we do. It's hand food, right?
Which right. Is, yeah.
You know? Yeah. Anyhow, so something like that.
So different
that.
Cultures definitely have different manners in terms of day-to-day things like eating and maybe what's acceptable even with bodily functions and things like that.
Oh, it's totally true, yeah. You know, like, even at work, if you think about it, is it polite to deduce? You know, go number two, right, if you thought about it? Because where I work, some people are really offended by that, right?
But really?
But what
do you have to go?
I know, it's just sort of like, God, I'm so sorry if I like the people I'm working with, you know, hey, don't go upstairs for a while, I blew it out, right? But but seriously, it's just like that sort of courtesy, like, I don't care. You know that when you're smelling poop, you're eating some of it, right? But I don't really care. I just go in there, do my business and leave, right? But other people are really offended by that, like just the whole bodily thing, right?
Right.
And so I negotiate with them, like, don't go in there, I blew it out, right? But if I don't like you, I'm not gonna say anything, right?
Right.
As soon as you smell it, you'll know to get the hell out, you know?
I guess in my world of etiquette, then, you know, you wouldn't, even if you didn't like something like that, you wouldn't say, you know, you would just sort of, I don't know, get a box of matches and discreetly give it to you the next time.
I guess it depends on who you're around and what their attitude is. I'm pretty agreeable, though, so I will, you know.
Yeah. But I think, you know, manners to some extent are a negotiation between people, and that's why I think, you know, they can replace laws, because, you know, if you can negotiate a way of living that creates a civil society, then you don't need to have laws to say you mustn't poop in the toilet during the day or whatever, because you negotiate between yourselves what can work in your community.
Yeah, because it is a form of lawmaking. It's a tacit sort of lawmaking, just courtesy is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
It is a form of law, and I think I really do believe that our culture needs it.
Yes.
But I'm a middle-aged lady, you know? I was born to say yes, thank you, no, sir, right? And the younger people aren't.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good point you bring up, because, you know, there was this whole thing with women, which I think is less now, that they would accept a lot of different behaviors that they didn't want out of politeness because they didn't want to be rude. You know, because you're taught that you should act in a certain way, and, you know, so if somebody, I don't know, put their hand on your bottom or something like that, then you just laugh and go, ha, you know, and step away rather than go, what do you think you're doing? You know, but I think now we've reached a point where we don't do that anymore. But is that something you experienced, feeling like you should accept certain behaviors just to be polite?
Well, yeah, but I'm also a woman, right? And I think women are more held to standards of paying attention to manners. Like, we're from the beginning, be nice, make up, don't fight, be agreeable. You know, even if you're fighting with your sister and you grab behind her back, right? You still know how to make nice, right? Yeah. And I don't think boys have those same behaviors. They can though, right? But I think they're just duking it out, right? Whereas girls from a young age, I think are negotiating these manners that they're really. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think it is true. Gender.
Yeah.
I think that there is a gender bias.
Certain
yeah.
manners.
Doesn't have to be.
Manners,
yeah, yeah. Certain manners. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting point. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance and my on-the-street conversations this week on our topic, Are Manners Still Important? Are Good Manners Still Important? Well, I'm wondering what you're thinking about that as you're listening to this. Hopefully it's stimulating some thoughts in your mind. Well, next I spoke to Todd, so let's hear what he has to say.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
I'm Todd.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week, our topic is Do Good Manners Still Matter? The 18th century English parliamentarian Edmund Burke believed that manners are evidence of a functioning society and a means of upholding that society. We can legislate all we like, but that will never have the same socially binding effect as manners, which have shared meaning and are an informal social contract of respectful behaviour. He believed that without manners, there would be anarchy. And once there is anarchy, you create a vacuum that a repressive authority will step into to restore order. This was certainly true of the French Revolution and later of the Russian and Chinese revolutions. In Burke's mind, if you cared about civilization, you cared about manners. So I'm wondering, do you think manners are a way of creating a freer, civilized society with fewer laws and less government interference? Is that something you've ever thought about to do with manners?
We were having a conversation earlier, actually, in regards to just like what digital manners are, like technology, manners around technology.
Yeah.
And so, the premise to me is a little off because I'm not sure who's defining what manners are anymore. I mean, so like we're in a theater and someone whips out their phone for 2 minutes. Is that okay? I know a theater manager who's talking to me that he had individuals that would come in and they would bring in their laptop into the movie theater.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
So, and they had no sense that what they were doing was poor manners. So, I don't know who's defining it. It depends on where you are, I guess. Mm. So, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so do you think we're in a position where we need to renegotiate? I mean, obviously manners have evolved
sure.
through the centuries. Uh-huh. So is that what you're saying?
I mean, there's a constant negotiation in society, but I don't know if some of our technology is allowing us to actually have that discussion anymore.
Mm.
So,
I mean, you brought up technology. There's also the aspect, obviously, of etiquette online and in a virtual situation.
Sure. Right now, we talk about the troll, the online
right.
troll,
yeah.
And it's all they have this level of anonymity, and so anonymity bringing. Mm. So in society, what was your question in regards to the conversation?
Oh, do we need to renegotiate etiquette or negotiate etiquette online virtually because we don't have the same consequences, the same social cues because we're not face to face with people? Do you think somehow it needs to be out there?
Sure. I mean, if anything, you have to have voices that constantly bring up that negotiation. Actually, they're constantly negotiating. In other words, that it just needs to be something we actually are constantly talking about. I think that's important.
Do you have any comments about the digital world and manners and whether we should have them? No? Okay, all right, just checking.
And by the way, I think we're good for the evening.
You don't want to do any more?
No, I would totally go. Honestly, I could keep going, but I'm good for the evening.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, really?
Why not?
Okay, I'll stick with it for a few more right. seconds.
There's
then.
Just a couple more questions.
Bully over here.
Okay. So,
nice.
Yeah. Now, was that polite? We have to ask ourselves.
It was.
I'm just joking.
It feels a little bullying over here.
Okay, so Lucinda Holdforth has a great book on manners, and she talks about how in his memoir Down and Out in Paris, George Orwell describes how his desperate situation caused him to lose his manners and his humanity deliberately goading the cook in the kitchen he was working in and then jeering at her after she cried, after he, you know, brought her to tears. So I'm wondering, do you see manners as a luxury, something we can only aspire to when other more basic needs are met, or do you think we can remain civil no matter what the situation?
We can remain civil, but the idea that we actually discuss them and are openly discussing them constantly and renegotiating them. Also, do I think it's possible that we can continue? Sure. But I have a lot of friends that are much younger than me, mm-hmm. and I have friends that are older than me, and there is a stark difference between that those two different generations. And one generation won't talk about things that are not polite, and the other generation is willing to, at least in certain settings, to talk, have those discussions. Mm-hmm. And so so I see a lot of secrecy in when those manners kind of evolve. So right. In other words, I was just looking at some reading for fun. I was reading just the online post to a response that was very fairly disagreeable on some online video earlier this afternoon, and just the level of just crass hatred, anger over just like a really random. So I don't know. What I think is those commenters are all very young. And so I don't see. With some of my older friends actually even wanting to have that conversation because it's not appropriate. It would be poor manners. Yes. Whereas I know I have some of my friends that were younger would have no problem dishing out some response that obviously is kind of biting and crass, yeah. Poor behavior, however you want to phrase it.
Where do you think that's coming from then? I mean, I know when I was little, I had a book all about manners with all these little animals telling you how to say please and thank you. And I mean, do you think there's it was a great book. Yeah, I still have it somewhere.
You keep looking for that one.
But do you think it's just sort of like we haven't caught up yet? Do you think parents aren't, you know, realizing that they need to teach young people also about how to behave in extended, perhaps virtual situations? Or I think there used to be an implicit understanding that manners are about respect for each other,
sure,
and sort
respect,
of dignity.
Sure.
And that, I'm not sure if younger people understand manners are about respect now. Do you think, or with the friends you were talking about?
It's just not a discussion that's had anymore. It's not at the forefront of anyone's thought. I mean, we talk about a distracted society all the time, just being distracted by whatever's in front of you.
Yeah.
And so at what time is that ever going to be a conversation that you have? Hey, it's really kind of rude that he's got his phone out the entire time. Because everyone's got their phone out all the time. I start to feel a little disconnected from some of my younger friends in that when I see that level of disconnection, but that ends up being a sign of bad manners.
Yeah.
And so,
That's an interesting point, though, I think, that I hadn't really thought about that, but that manners can connect us. I mean, I know I've thought a lot about them being about respect, but mm-hmm. that form of sort of connection also is missing, isn't it, in this self-absorption and short attention span.
I think there's room. There's definitely room to have that discussion, but it's not really. I'm not a technologist in the sense that I don't program, I don't create apps, I don't create an online interface for discussion. But we don't have. We're building a new language right now, and in that language right now, maybe there is room for quote unquote manners are, and. I don't think right now we're seeing that at the forefront of thought of like, oh, I'm building this thing. Let me make sure that there's a way to. There's an app right now called Yik Yak. Yik Yak. And it's an anonymous. I can look up right now. Actually, I'll show you.
Okay.
This will be fun. Here you go. You can edit this however you want. I'm very curious. It's completely anonymous. And it's location based.
Right.
All right. And manners on here don't really exist, really, quite honestly.
I think some people feel like manners restrict freedom, but then there's other people who argue that actually they lead to greater freedom within a civil environment, though, because mm-hmm. ultimately you're in a community negotiating a way of being together that allows you all to express yourself in a respectful way. Whereas if you're just doing whatever you want and saying whatever you want, then eventually there's a breakdown of your community, which obviously is less obvious online.
Sure.
But can also happen online.
I'm processing with you at the same time. Maybe having some bad manners at this right now, actually. All right, here, I'm ready for like
so
one.
So you're on Yik.
I'm looking for one that has
received polite.
No. I'm looking for like the responses for one of these things. So.
I mean, it definitely seems online that most people are not subscribing to the golden rule in these kind of comment sections. You know, they're not responding in a way that they would like to be responded to if they made a comment. You know, it can be quite vicious, can't it?
More often than not. I'm not finding a great example for this.
What is YikYak?
So it's just an online way to have community. So a completely anonymous community within your very hyper-local, so it doesn't go farther probably than a few blocks from here. Anyone that's commenting on this board is within maybe less than a quarter mile from us.
So do you think they'd be more polite because you could, in theory, run around the corner and punch them if they just said something really rude?
Sure.
That would be good. That would be interesting. If you had to put in your location and they could be tracked, whether that would affect how they responded.
Sure. Oh, of course.
Clearly.
Yeah, sure. It's actually, oddly enough, I wish I needed... But I've seen things on here that have been extremely... vile, and quite honestly, like hypersexualized. Everything is every conversation pretty much ends in sex, by the way. Every
conversation, I'm around the corner, quick, meet me.
That's a different app.
That is a different app,
yes,
yeah. But no, every conversation actually becomes some sexualized response. Is that good manners? Probably not so much.
I mean, that's a whole other arena to discuss,
yeah, sure.
You know, the manners of sexual interaction,
yeah.
Which what's polite and what isn't, and you know what it used to be that a gentleman would do,
yeah,
and a lady would do, and
sure,
all of that. I mean, that's obviously evolved over time, so it is a constant negotiation. But would you see manners as still, you know, viable as something we need in our society and community?
Anytime there's room for discussion, so manners would fall into that thing. Like room, we need to constantly be having a discussion about race. We need to have a discussion about rules of society, how we treat one another. Sure. That manners is in that mix.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I mean, I think some people think of manners as elitist or artificial. You know, like sort of elitist if you know, I know where which fork to use,
sure,
and you don't. You know, sort of a snobbery thing.
Uh-huh.
But also a superficiality of like, opening a door, what does that really mean? But I think when you treat people well, it makes them feel good about themselves and it makes you feel good about yourself. So there is, I don't think it's as superficial as people think. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, prim and proper, manners being this, so what is the cocktail fork and what's the salad fork that manners does get stuck in that realm.
Yes, exactly.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my On the Street Conversations. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more from Out and About after these messages.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis states, "I become one with the essence of nature. This process puts me in touch with the soul of all living things." Owners of Doreen's beautiful paintings can vouch for this truth. Gazing at a painting by Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral, and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections throughout the United States, in England, and in Germany. Her paintings are on display online at DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com. And experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversation on this week's topic. Hope it's giving you some food for thought. And it's always interesting, I think, to imagine I'd stopped you on the street and what might you have said to some of these questions. Well, lastly, I spoke to Ben. So let's hear his thoughts.
We're kind of framing between three things: manners, etiquette, and chivalry. And what you said were etiquette and chivalry, not manners. Manners is much simpler. Manners is down home south. Okay. Manners is country bumpkin. Manners is at every level of society. It exists at every level of society in our own way.
Right.
And etiquette is elitist. Okay. Etiquette was used to say, oh, these are the rules of etiquette. If you don't know those rules, you're obviously not part of the crew. But manners, you may still have perfect manners, but not know the etiquette, and therefore be rejected by this little clique, you know.
Yeah.
Likewise, chivalry. Chivalry, to me, is a codification of manners directed generally from one sex to another. And to me, the baby in the bathwater there is that, you know, I would say now we tend not to find much modesty or chivalry. And they go together.
Yes.
Chivalry is men, sort of, if we lived in a culture in which masculine and feminine were no longer, or hadn't become dirty words, and you could still reference things in that way without everybody screaming social conditioning and patriarchy and rape culture, then I might say something like, you know, the masculine sort of deferring to the feminine and giving conditions, setting conditions in such a way as to allow the feminine to be feminine and not be disturbed as much as possible by the rough and tumble world that they live in, which likewise, modesty is going the other way. Modesty is the feminine taking masculine for what it is, which is basically a bunch of animals, and saying, well, I'm going to make it so that instead of them having to constantly struggle to sort of restrain themselves, maybe I could just, you know, be modest and not throw my shit in their face all day. So those two go together. You know, the men are saying, I'm going to usher the woman through difficult situations, giving them, you know, by recognizing the reality of who they are and not expecting them to be like men.
Right.
And women were modest in a way as a way of recognizing the reality of who men are and not expecting them to be like women. And not expecting them to be something they're not. And so I feel like there's layers that we've lost in throwing the baby out with the bathwater there. But that's still distinct from manners to me. Manners, you know, chivalry existed pretty much only at a very, very high level of nobility in its time. And down at the lower levels, it was mostly rape and, you know, women were not treated very well.
Yeah, and I did read, actually, I can't remember the woman who in medieval times brought in the whole idea of chivalry with the sole view of trying to get men to treat women better and have a reason and a kind of structure to do that.
Right.
So, I mean, I think what you're saying is quite interesting, and I think we're in a negotiation around that now, and we've kind of swung in the other direction. But I think the problem with what you're saying is that it wasn't negotiated, it was imposed on women that you have to be a certain way. And I think what's been lost in the swing back in the other direction from that is that there are differences between men and women, between masculine and feminine, if you like, and don't make it about gender necessarily. You know, that... our
true. And that's kind of what you're saying, I think, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it, just more to the point that, you know, while I wouldn't say that anybody should be one way or the other, if you just sort of look and this 80-20 rule kicks in, you're like, wow, 80% of women have this certain way of relating to that type of situation. And 80% of men have this different way of relating to that type of situation. You can draw some generalities.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, in our culture now, like, oh, things like stereotypes are anathema. And yet they exist. They exist for a reason. The trick in my world is not to assume that the person I'm dealing with here meets any of the stereotypes. That's prejudice. When you assume this person is all the stereotypes you've heard about, that type of person,
right.
That's
yes.
prejudice.
Yeah.
But the stereotypes exist because 80-20, 80% of them, of whatever group, whatever
yeah.
category, whatever people you're talking about, have certain traits. That's okay. Why can't we admit that to each other?
Yes. Yeah.
So in my world, like the masculine and feminine thing is now, you know, being subject to the same
yeah.
let's deconstruct all language until it has no meaning stuff that we're doing in all these other categories too, to the point where it's all, you know, PC doublespeak and nobody knows how to actually communicate real truths. So that scares me. And it makes it hard to talk about things like this.
Yeah. Right.
You can't talk about chivalry and modesty without talking about masculine and feminine, but masculine and feminine are these horrific social constructs that have been holding women down and men
right.
up for however long.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of the other way around sometimes. But so to me, what you're talking about this sort of current discussion, it's like the whole thing kind of follows, like we've done this in every camp. Like we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater and being able to, you know, look at chivalry and modesty.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so men are still expected to behave chivalrously, but they don't.
Mm.
But there's still an expectation that they will.
Mm.
And women are sort of given, you know, from a modesty standpoint, it's like when it's not there and they still demand chivalry, I laugh. Because I'm like, really?
Right.
What have you done? You're not doing your part of the bargain, so why would you expect anything like that from me?
Right.
You're giving me absolutely nothing to work with,
yeah.
so I have nothing to give.
I mean, I think there's a lot of confusion around all of that.
But I think manners are the same.
Yes. Yeah.
So I had an experience recently with a 24-year-old woman, and we were in a group of mostly 50 and 45-year-olds. I'm in my 30s, she was in her 20s. The fellow comes over to talk to us at our request to sort of explain, tell his story, the story of his business, his establishment.
Hmm.
He starts talking about three sentences and she turns to me and starts another conversation. And I shushed her.
Oh my goodness.
And she never forgave me for shushing her.
Oh.
Later, I said something about how I'm not a good artist and she lights into me for making everything about good and bad and when people should and shouldn't talk and this and that and the other. Meanwhile, the proprietor of this establishment stopped dead mid-sentence when she started this other conversation. He was clearly offended.
Yeah.
But she was oblivious to this. And she was not only oblivious to this, she was offended that I would say, hey, hold on, not now. I want to hear what he has to say. Offended. Because manners have turned into, it's like whatever manners and etiquette, like all this stuff that, like you're saying, some people perceive as stuffy or requiring, you know, not isolation, but what's the word, like conformity.
Mm.
And that's a bad thing.
Mm.
Now, and I dare say also in sort of two-income culture, it's very difficult to raise children now at the level of awareness and presence that we used to, and yet we're helicoptering all over these children, not letting them have any time alone. So
yes.
it's like,
yeah.
this is just a mess. So I look at that and I say, okay, well, this person made it to mid-20s and still doesn't know that if somebody has the floor and you've asked them to speak, that it's horribly rude to interrupt them.
Yeah.
It's not my job to run around correcting those, but I wanted to hear what the guy had to say. I didn't want to engage in the conversation. She was trying to start with me.
Right.
If she'd been across the table, I probably wouldn't have shushed her. But because that's bad manners.
Yeah.
But if she was, I was basically saying, I'm not engaging with you right now. I'm engaging with him. And that was bad. So
I mean, I suppose the only thing you could have done instead is, I'd love to talk to you in a minute, but I want to hear what so-and-so has to say.
That's exactly what I did.
Oh, you did say that?
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't
so
just go,
not right now. Hold on. I want to hear what he has to say.
Oh, okay.
To her, that was a shushing because I didn't let her do whatever came to her mind in that instant. And that's what I keep seeing over and over, more and more, is
self-absorption, that
manners,
is, isn't it?
Yeah, and self-absorption and hypersensitivity. So somehow we're being really nice to each other so that people get to their mid-20s and they can't take any criticism.
They can't
be shushed. They can't be told that what they're doing isn't appropriate in the moment.
Yeah.
So they can't be taught manners.
Right.
Because they've never been told that anything they did wasn't perfect.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah. And there was an interesting distinction you made between manners and etiquette. I mean, to me, good manners, I mean, in England, some would say refer to it as good breeding, you know. But, you know, for instance, in a situation where somebody used the wrong fork at a meal, if you had good manners, you would never point that out to somebody. But if you're stuck in the kind of snooty etiquette thing, you're like, oh dear, you know, did you realize that that's not the right fork to use or whatever, you know.
Sure.
But that actually, you know, you would never find that in somebody who has really good manners because they wouldn't want to make that person feel uncomfortable. And I think, you know, that... And maybe, I don't know if it's more of an American thing about a way of thinking about manners or whether it's just generally a snobby thing, you know, but it's become a lot more, I think, when people think about manners, about, you know, sort of behaving in the right way, wearing the right thing, doing the right thing or whatever. Whereas I really think fundamentally it's about respect, as we were talking about, you know, and your friend, or if she was coming from that perspective, she could never have done that, because she, even if he was the most boring person in the world, she would have just given her attention, because that would be polite and that would be good manners, you know. And some people might think that's stupid, you know, because they're like, well, why would I want to do that? You know, he's boring.
He's wasting my life.
Exactly, yes. But then if you think in a wider perspective of how life is hard and we're all trying to navigate it and do our best, then there's a more of an empathy and compassion, I think, you know, to your interactions with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your thoughts. What's your, do you want to give a name?
I'm Ben.
Ben. Well, thanks very much, Ben. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Well, thank you to all the people who took part in my on-the-street conversations this week. As I point out, usually it's quite daunting to be stopped by somebody and asked quite deep questions and talk about it. So I'm very appreciative of the people who agree to do that and share their thoughts. I hope you've enjoyed this week's topic and it's given you some food for thought. If you have any comments on what we've discussed today, do email me through the website, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And also, if you ever miss a show or you really enjoy a show and want to tell other people about it, all the shows are podcasted at itsaquestionofbalance.com. We've had some really interesting topics and some great arts guests. And speaking of great arts guests, just to remind you again that coming up next, my special guest from the arts this week is best-selling author Eden Lapucky. And Eden's debut novel, California, is one of the most pre-ordered debut novels in the history of publisher Hachette, after Stephen Colbert twice on his show urged viewers to go out and order the book. So I hope you can stay around to hear my interview with Eden. And if you enjoy the interview, you can meet her in person here locally in Santa Cruz at Bookshop Santa Cruz on Sunday the 26th of July at 4 p.m. I'll see you soon.